Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our reflections on Jesus of the Gospels. We had been studying the conflict Jesus entered into, or he was forced to enter into, with the leaders of Judaism. In the Gospel of Mark, starting from chapter 2, we see certain controversies that leading into a confrontation and conflict between Jesus and the leaders of Judaism. In our last meditation, we reflected on the conflict that was caused by a healing activity of Jesus. While healing the paralytic, as a condition to that healing, Jesus declared, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes accused him of blasphemy, and Jesus proved that he has the authority to forgive sins by making the paralytic rise up and walk. Now today we would like to focus our attention on another episode, the next episode, so to say, in the Gospel of Mark, that leads to another controversy. And this is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. As usual, first we read the episode and then we make our reflections on it. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." This is the report of the Gospel of Mark. The same event is reported also by Matthew and Luke. Matthew in chapter 9, verses 9 to 13, and Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. So the episode relates the call of Levi, who will be later on called as Matthew. In fact, the Gospel of Matthew straight away calls this tax collector Matthew. Later on, when they speak about the name of the 12 apostles, this Levi doesn't appear there, he appears as Matthew. So Jesus is calling one of his 12 as the first four. This one also is called from Capernaum. Now let us start the beginning. Jesus went out again beside the sea, and there he is teaching the crowd. It's very interesting to note that the first time that Jesus is teaching on the lake shore. So far he was teaching either in the synagogue or in the house. In the synagogue, he was accused, and in the house, the roof was removed because they wanted to bring the patient in. Now, Jesus moves out into the open air. From the classroom to the open air, so to say, or from the church precincts into the market. From the place reserved for prayer and meditation, Jesus is moving out into the place of work, where people gather, not to listen to pious talks, not to pray to the Heavenly Father, where people come to work, to earn their living by fishing, selling, buying. It's an activity. So from the sacred precinct, so to say, Jesus is coming into the secular milieu. There he starts teaching. And there people gather around him, huge crowds. So already we are seeing a change in the style from synagogue to the lakeshore. From the sacred to the secular. There he speaks. There he teaches. Mark doesn't say what Jesus taught, as usual. He has already given us some indication, and later on he will say in chapter 4, he will tell us something about the teaching of Jesus. It is Matthew and Luke, and finally John, who would present the teaching of Jesus in detail. As far as Mark is concerned, what is important is Jesus was teaching, and the people found sense in his teaching. That's why they came in their hundreds. The crowds thronged around him. Now, after the teaching was over, he was passing. And he was passing by the customs booth. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. Now, this man is called a tax collector. And we should know the position of Capernaum. I have already once mentioned in this talk. Capernaum is a very important town, situated at crossroads. Great trade routes or royal highways cross at Capernaum. The road that comes from Damascus, Syria, going down from northeast to southwest, going to Egypt, from Syria to Egypt, passes through Capernaum. The same way from Tyre and Sidon, the Phoenician towns, to Arabia, from northwest to southeast, that also passes through Capernaum. So Capernaum is a very important junction. Hundreds or thousands of people meet there every day. It's a huge crowd. And that is the reason why later on, Mark would say, a great crowd gathered and there had nothing to eat. So it's near Capernaum, where Jesus multiplies, so to say, miraculously feed the crowds, thousands of people. So this is the crossroad. And the lake of Capernaum, or Lake Tiberias, or Sea of Galilee, whatever we call it, this sea or the lake, a sweet water lake, is full of very tasty, costly fish. And this fish was not only sold as fresh fish, but it is also processed and exported. Export quality processed fish. And there had been fish processing units in and near Capernaum. Only about 4 kilometers from Capernaum, we have the city or the town called Magdala. And the authors think the word Magdala comes from the word Migdol, means the tower. So a village or a town with a tower. And the tower, they presume, is the chimney of a fish processing unit. We don't know exactly if that is true or not. Anyhow, Capernaum is an important town. Not only that, Capernaum is a border town. About 4 kilometers northeast of Capernaum starts the territory ruled by Tetrarch Philip. So this is a border town, and because of that, the customs office has a great importance. So Matthew, or the Levi, sitting at the customs office has a very flourishing business, collecting taxes from the fish marketing, collecting taxes or customs, road taxes, and all this is a very busy place. So a person who is engaged in collecting taxes. And we know tax collectors were not much appreciated by the people in Palestine for two reasons. First of all, the tax collectors, as usually, worked for the Romans. Rome was the occupying force, and they had the system of collecting taxes by entrusting individuals an area from which they were supposed to pay a certain amount to the treasury. And those great tax officers could lease out the tax collecting office to smaller officers. Anyhow, people considered the tax collectors as traitors, collaborators of foreign rule. Even though Levi was not necessarily working for the Romans, because Capernaum did not belong directly to the Roman territory, it belonged to Antipas, but all the same, he was working as a tax collector. Second, the tax collectors always enforced or extracted more than that was necessary or permitted. There was no law regulating the amount, limiting the amount of taxes. There was a limit which they had to pay to the treasury, but not a limit to the amount they could extract from the people. So the tax collectors could be very unjust, and because of that reason also they were hated. Now this is such a person, Levi, a hated tax collector who was rich and who had influence or who had power over the people, but never the love. Now comes a rabbi, a young prophet, a person who was so influential among the crowds. That person, Jesus of Nazareth, comes to the tax collector's booth and addresses an unexpected call. Come, follow me. Levi could have believed anything, but not this. Levi, who was considered a traitor, who was considered a public sinner, who was hated by all, now stands before this great prophet, this great wonder man, miracle worker, whom some consider as having a divine power. This prophet from Nazareth comes and addresses a personal word to him. And what a word. Come, follow me. You are my friend. I need you. I need you for my project. I need you for the kingdom movement. You are going to be one of my close associates. He was happy. He was happy for the first time somebody called him a friend. Levi knew that he was no more hated by all. Here is a person who understands him, accepts him as friend. And that very expression of love, concern, care, changes the person. Levi becomes a new person. Levi immediately stands up. He changed all on a sudden. And he followed Jesus. And what happens next is the cause of the controversy. And he sat at dinner in Levi's house. As he sat at dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners gathered around him. Jesus with his disciples come to dine in the house of a hated public sinner. And this causes scandal. Scandal for the righteous persons. Scandal for the Pharisees who considered publicans or tax collectors as sinners. And there's one particular denomination of people called sinners. So tax collectors and sinners, who are they? Is something written on their head that they are sinners? Could everybody read the heart of the people saying these are sinners? No. What the evangelist here terms as sinners is not a group of people whose life, whose heart is away from God. No. These people called sinners are those who practice a certain occupation, certain profession that is considered as sinful. And the Pharisees and the lawyers were very particular about it. There were so many professions branded as making unclean. All these professions were necessary, for example, keeping the sheep, or working at thermal baths, or masseurs, or doctors, physicians. All these people were doing necessary work for the community, but that very profession made them unclean, and so sinners. Of course, prostitutes also were considered sinners. So what the evangelist is telling about sinners is not exactly the moral situation of the persons, but the professional situation. And these people were considered sinners. And Jesus is sitting at table with them, eating with them. So this is the table fellowship. The table fellowship with publicans, tax collectors, sinners, is somehow making a change in the society as such. It is kind of as if issuing a challenge, as if pulling down the barriers of division, of clean and unclean, sinner and saints. And now the Pharisees, the some of the scribes belonging to the Pharisee party, come and ask. They don't dare to approach Jesus. They ask the disciples, why is it that your master sits with the sinners? Here, Jesus gives the answer. And the answer is point blank, making the people to think and expressing also the purpose of his call, of his coming. Why is Jesus here on earth? What is he bringing? What is the nature of the kingdom he announces? He says, those who are well have no need of a physician, a general normal practice. When you are well, you never think of your health. You never go to hospital unless you want to see some patients. So the one who is well does not need a physician, but the sick do need. The same way, Jesus says, I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners. The purpose of Jesus coming is to call the sinners to conversion, to repentance, to forgiveness, to the companionship with God. Those who consider themselves righteous do not need a savior. It is the sinner who needs a savior. And Jesus comes as the savior of the sinners. So here, he is somehow changing the society from inside, from underneath, pulling down the barriers, the divisions that separate people as sinners and righteous, that holy and unholy. And Jesus takes sides with the sick, with the sinner, with the unholy people. And that creates division. That creates scandal. That creates opposition from the part of the rulers who consider themselves as saintly, as holy ones. How is this going to end? Where is this conflict leading us? We will see later as the life of Jesus proceeds. But one thing is made clear. The coming of Jesus is for those who are sick, those who feel, those who are aware of their sinfulness, those who want, those who need a doctor, a savior. He is there for everyone who needs him. And he is there to save, he is there to forgive, he is there to heal. So now let us turn to him who is the doctor, who is the savior, and who is our redeemer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son as physician to heal our sickness, as Savior to redeem us from our sins, as life to give us life eternal. Father, we thank you for loving us so much as you send your only Son to be our physician. Enable us to understand him. Enable us to love and accept him. Enable us to believe him when he speaks to us about you and your unfailing love. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.